Cabra. A Hi, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Big day today for us, the first day of the Chip Kelly mini camp, and you can hear the music out there. The buzz in the building is incredible. It's such an irresistible tease because it is closed to the media. We will have some media access, some video access for you later tonight on our Eagles update, so make sure you tune in for that. We have a little bit to get to here. Chip Kelly coming up very shortly, so let's get to the order of the day, the headlines of the day. The Chip Kelly minicamp has started. We'll find out from the head coach a little bit about his depth chart, which really doesn't mean a whole lot right now. Eagles last night trimming the roster, cutting quarterback Trent Edwards, now four quarterbacks on this roster. Chip Kelly to meet the media in just a few moments. NFL schedule comes out on Thursday at 8 p.m., and Eagles Draft Live starts Monday at noon. Great show for you today. We're going to start things off with Sal Palantonio from ESPN. So we take a quick break. We come back, and Sal Pal, who is live from ESPN's, they're live broadcasting. They're hitting. They're going to the hot spots in the NFL. And guess where a hot spot in the NFL is? Right here in Philadelphia, of course. All of this overshadowed by what happened in Boston yesterday. We understand that. Our condolences to everyone involved there. But today, the order of business here, Chip Kelly's minicamp, and we're going to talk about that with Sal Pal on the other side on Eagles Live. Hang in there.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread, ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut, just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man, first day. So later on, it's all...
Swing, baby.
Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, when minicamp begins, the national media come to town, and our good buddy Sal Palantonio from ESPN joins me here in the studio. It amazes me, Sal. I come to work here every day, and I see the change. Now, Sal was a beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1994, 1995, ESPN since 1995, and you've seen coaching changes, you've seen regime changes. I'd like you to talk to me what you see here with the Philadelphia Eagles organization in the last 8 months, let's say.
I've never seen any change quite like this, top to bottom, in every respect of the organization. It's a sea change. It's a cultural change. It's a change in mood and attitude and approach at every level. I've never seen a coach come in and say, you're going to eat differently. You're going to train differently. We're going to bring in a SEAL team trainer, former SEAL team trainer, and we're going to do cardio, and we're going to train differently. We're going to line up differently. You're going to have different players in your lineup. We're going to have different schemes on offense and defense. We're going to bring new players in. I've never seen anything like it. It has been so dramatic. Honestly, the only time that I can think of it any different is when Eric Mangini was fired with the Jets and Rex Ryan was brought in. I famously said it went from Dorney Park, went from Alcatraz to Dorney Park. but this, you know, it's unprecedented, really, because Eric Mangini was only around for a couple of years. Andy Reid was here for 14 years. Mm-hmm. So this is the most dramatic change I've ever seen with a coach. And here's a funny story for you. This is really interesting. I went to do a local TV hit with our buddy John Clark at Channel 10 on Sports Final on Sunday. I went there late at night, and one of the night watchmen grabbed me before I went in and said, "Hey, what do you think of Chip Kelly?" And I went through all the changes and said, "Here we go, top to bottom, nutrition, practice." He goes, "They need it. We love it."
Needed the change.
Needed the change.
Yeah.
We love it.
Do you
Everywhere I get, I was just in Best Buy up on Front Street, hanging out for a few seconds before live shots. I had to pick up something for my daughter. "Hey, Sal, what's going on down there at NovaCare?"
Yeah.
"What do you think of Chip Kelly?" "Well, a lot of change." We need the change.
Yeah. I think everybody in here would agree with that, too. It had just become too comfortable. And, look, I mean, training camp in the NFL, I know it's basically a country club compared to what it was back in the day, as they say. But it just seemed like the players were not responding to the methods in every respect with Coach Reed and the coaching staff then.
Yeah. You know, and the flip side of that is it's a great unknown. When
Absolutely.
You bring in a coach who's got no experience at the NFL level, either as a coach or a player, not a single down. The last guy to do that, Mike Riley, San Diego Chargers, 1999. He was gone in 3 years, only won 14 games, mm-hmm. a winning percentage of .292. 10 years before that, who was the guy who did it with no coaching or playing experience in the NFL?
Jimmy Johnson.
Won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So what's the difference, David, between Mike Riley and Jim Johnson?
Who were the quarterbacks?
Two words.
Who were the
Troy
Aikman. Right.
Right?
Agreed. Well, listen, it all comes back to, when we get on the field here, and there's a great mystery here, Sal, because there's no real media coverage of these practices. I know the fans are just champing to get,
I'm trying to crack the code here.
Yeah, we want to get on, we want to see what they do on the field. But when you actually get a chance to watch this team, what do you expect to jump out at you in a practice environment?
Speed, pace, everything.
No huddles?
I think that here are the key numbers, and I had ESPN stats and information, looked them up, and I haven't said them on the air yet, so I'll say them here on your show.
Okay, thank you.
Okay? Last year in the National Football League, 2012, the average offensive plays run, number 64 per team in the National Football League. The Eagles ran 67, which ranks 6th in the NFL. The highest in the league last year, New England Patriots, ran 74 plays on average. Last year, University of Oregon, 83 plays.
Right.
All right, now you do the subtraction of the math. 67 to 83,
yeah,
right?
16, right.
Yeah, 16 plays, right? That's 2 more drives.
Yeah.
But it also means you got to be ready to play.
And it means you've got to get first downs. You've got to sustain drives. And defensively, obviously, you've got to get off the field. Sal, the quarterback question is one that every team asks. And I think Eagles fans for a long time here with Donovan McNabb at the quarterback position, it became a very stable position. We've seen here in the last couple of years, not so stable. Team's record's gone down. Who becomes the quarterback here? How do these Michael Vick versus Nick Foles versus Dennis Dixon, how do they handle the mental changes? Because there's got to be an enormous mental capacity challenge going on right now.
All right, I gave you one number to remember, 83 plays per game at Oregon. I'm going to give you another number to remember, 125. That's the average number of rushes that quarterbacks had per season under Chip Kelly in Oregon. That means your quarterback is carrying the football. So whoever is coming in here, for this offense to be successful, if he's going to run it the way he ran it in Oregon, the quarterback will run the football. Has to do it.
Then that would seem to take Nick Foles out of the equation.
I think it would take Nick Foles out of the equation. I thought what Howie Roseman said yesterday in his press briefing on the draft was very interesting. In fact, we ran a clip of it, the interview that you did with him on SportsCenter this morning, where Roseman specifically said this is a meat and potatoes draft.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the trenches, offensive and defensive line in the draft. It's not too sexy at the skill positions, which is really interesting because right now in the NFL, what are you emphasizing? You're emphasizing offense.
Sure.
Quarterback, weak, thin. Wide receiver, weak, thin. Running back, weak, thin. Very strong offense and defense. At number 4, what do the Eagles do? Because if Andy Reid at number 1 takes Luke Joeckel, which is anticipated if he doesn't drop out of there, and Jaguars take Deion Jordan, then at number four, we don't know what the Raiders are going to do. We can guess all day. Mm-hmm. At number four, if the Eagles have Sharif Floyd, Eric Fisher, or Geno Smith, who do they take? And based on what Roseman said, it looks like they're moving away from Geno Smith. Is there going to be a team, David, that's going to want to jump up to four and get Geno Smith so that the Eagles can drop
or
back?
Get Eric Fisher
or just get
Sharif Floyd
or just take one of those two players?
Yeah.
But now what happens if Jacksonville at two takes Eric Fisher and Deion Jordan is sitting there with Geno Smith at number four? Does Chip Kelly do what's comfortable, take Deion Jordan, a player that they could use, or do they take the gamble on Geno Smith?
I will tell you, in 1999, I knew it was going to be Donovan McNabb at the number two overall selection about a week before the draft.
Did you scoop the pick?
We knew. Well, we were told internally to prepare, you know, get all your highlights, get all your videos ready. It's going to be Donovan McNabb. I don't have any sense.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a group of five or six players.
Because the board is wide open, mm-hmm. and there's no sexy marquee player. We knew last year it was going to go Luck and Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
We knew in that year it was going to be Couch and Donovan, right? So we don't know what's going to happen. Presumably, the Eagles will be in a spot at four where they'll get a blue-chip player. And I think it's really important that if they do wind up trading down, don't go too far. Get a player that's going to be a foundational player. It's very rare that you draft in the top five. A top five pick, David, as you know, like Donovan McNabb, has to be a franchise foundational player. What do I mean by that? That means a guy that's going to start at that position and is going to play well for 5 to 7 to 10 years, is going to come into the building and set the tone, not only from a personality and football standpoint, but also as a leader in and off in the locker room or out of the locker room.
ESPN will be here on draft weekend, or at least the first night of the draft. So why did ESPN decide to send you here? Is this that compelling a story? Are the Eagles back up?
It's the Eagles. I get to hang out with you.
Oh, that's my man. Oh, come on. Look, we just blew it. No, but seriously, I mean, it seems like the Chip Kelly hire has really kind of sparked a whole lot of interest in this football team.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I think that was part and parcel of what the Eagles were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's to re-goose, to use a word, rejuice things, jazz things up a little bit. And, you know, the truth is, it's a 4-12 team.
Right.
And, you know, we had that tragedy in Boston yesterday.
Right.
But they still decided to send me here today with a satellite truck doing live shots and take Chip Kelly live. They canceled other venues today, but they decided to stick with this. So there is a major interest in Chip Kelly. And you know what? There is still a major interest in Michael Vick. Michael Vick moves the meter on ESPN. Mm-hmm. People still want to know what's going on with him. He has star power. There's still star power on this football team, despite where you finished last season.
And you believe number seven will be the guy in September?
You know what? I think it's wide open. I think he's got to compete for the starting job. Especially, you know, I'm interested to talk to him on Wednesday when we get to talk to him. And one of the questions I want to ask him is, if they take Geno Smith with the number four pick, what is your reaction going to be?
Well, yeah, he's on a one-year contract. His reaction better be, I got to play well this year.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Sal, give me a name, number four pick for the Philadelphia Eagles.
If Eric Fisher's there, they take him. If Eric Fisher's gone and Deion Jordan's there, they take Jordan. If both Jordan and Fisher are gone and Geno Smith is there at number four, I think the phone will be ringing off the hook.
You're a Geno Smith fan?
I am a Geno Smith fan. I am. I think, as I mentioned before, the difference between Mike Riley and Jimmy Johnson, two coaches who came straight out of college with no experience, was Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You've got to have that foundational quarterback. And Michael Vick is 33. He missed 5 games last year. He had a lot of turnovers. Is he the future at the quarterback position is a major question mark. And Michael Vick has to prove that the answer to that question is yes for this year and going forward. And right now he hasn't answered that question.
Sal Palantonio, we thank you, as always, for coming into PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, good.
We'll see you draft weekend. Sal Pal from ESPN in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Smart world. smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Hi, I'm Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And I can tell you, Pat Shurmur is having a good time out on the practice field. Dave Spadaro with you here on Eagles Live. Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments here live from the auditorium, so we will get caught up. And you know that the first question is going to be, so Chip, tell us about the quarterback position. Who lined up as the starter today? Isn't this crazy? We're going nuts about the first day of practice before the draft. But it was very cool. Brian Dawkins showed up today to come to practice. I think the Eagles are going to have Brian Dawkins around quite a bit this year. I think that's a good thing. All right, let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day. Because, listen, there are some things happening here with this mini camp opening today. Eagles cutting the roster down to four at the quarterback position by releasing Trent Edwards last night. Good luck to Trent. Terrific guy. Coach Chip Kelly meeting the media here any minute now. NFL schedule will be announced Thursday at 8 p.m., so tune in for that. We'll have complete coverage, of course, here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And our draft live coverage begins in earnest on Monday at noon. Of course, we'll be live each day next week. And on Thursday, we start at 6 o'clock. We are live in New York. We're live in Philadelphia from the NovaCare Complex, from the draft party at Lincoln Financial Field. We are good. And speaking of the draft, how about this sweet draft hat, the new era draft, 5950 cap. The Eagles draft hat available for you right now. Load up on it. Speak with your cap. Order it online, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, or visit us at the Pro Shop at LincolnFinancialField.com. Let's take a quick phone call in here before we get to Chip Kelly. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Joe. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, Joe. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. First time caller, long time listener.
Why,
but I can't
you.
Take it any longer.
What's
being
up?
An Eagles fan.
Whoa. What can you take?
Look, we need to definitely not take Geno Smith in the fourth pick.
Tell me why.
Anybody on the defense is where we need to focus from here on out. I mean, how many quarterbacks do we need? Like five?
Well, you need the right quarterback, Joe. Now, if the Eagles go for a quarterback early in the draft, that is a clear indication that, look, Chip's got 3 days right now to work with these quarterbacks, and he's going to grade a lot, not only how they move, how they throw, where their location is. It's a mental, it's a whole different way of running practice. It's a whole different way of signaling in the offensive scheme. It's a whole way of a new verbal challenge for these. So if Chip doesn't like what he sees here for 3 days, I mean, if you love Geno Smith, then why wouldn't you take him? You may not like him at four, and I may not like him. I don't know, but it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Eagles think, and Chip,
right.
And Howie. And if they love the quarterback, you take the quarterback, because you're not going to win in this league unless you have the quarterback you love.
I got it, but here's my problem with the Eagles.
Okay.
And I think I've been seven. I'm 50 years old now.
Right.
You know, Nick Foles rolls in the joint.
Okay.
And to Vic's credit and Foles' credit, our offensive line was hurt all year long.
Yes.
Okay. So how about if we see if we can get some blocking in there?
Agreed.
Before we decide to jump in. You know, I hate to bring Foles in and then say, okay, well, he played six games. Oh, he's not in Chip Kelly's offense. You know, he's not going to be able to run the Oregon Ducks in the NFL.
Well, I think Chip, and thanks for the call, Joe, I think Chip has made it very clear that he is flexible in his game plan, and if Nick Foles impresses him, then they're going to tailor the offense around what Nick Foles does well. As for the offensive line, I've been saying it for weeks and weeks and weeks, months even. Go get a right tackle. Doesn't have to be the first pick in the draft. I think there are good right tackles, apparently, through the early rounds of this draft. Go get one. Move Todd Harriman's into right guard. Challenge Danny Watkins. See if Dennis Kelly can step up. Make this not a good offensive line, not a very good offensive line. Make this a great offensive line. If you can do that, the offense is going to run a whole lot smoother. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Zompie in New York joins us before we get to Chip Kelly's press conference here any minute now. Zompster, what's going on?
How about those birds, baby?
How about how you doing, buddy?
I'm pumped up, man. It's been a long time, been working, and I'm always watching, though. You know that.
Thank you.
But, very quickly, I just want to say, you know, my top three guys has got to be no particular order. It's got to be Fisher, in my opinion, Star Lutalele, and Deion Jordan. Any one of those three would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crazy about Geno Smith, to be honest with you. I think he's a very, very accurate quarterback, but I just don't see him as the future here or as a guy that I would want as the fourth overall pick. Always get the best player available. That's always my motto. But everything else, I mean, should be, what can we say? What's our next pick, the 35th pick?
35th pick, yeah. That's the third pick in the second round.
Yeah, after the first round, I'm shot. I have no idea what to look forward to.
I just want great players. You know what? When you're coming off a 4-12 season, let's be honest, you can use help everywhere, right?
Absolutely. But what do you think of, I don't know what you were saying before because I was on hold, but Dennis Kelly at right tackle, Todd Herman's at right guard. If that was with Peters, Kelsey, and Mathis, would you be okay with that?
Dennis Kelly would have to show improvement in his strength. I think he's got the good, quick feet that you like. I think Dennis Kelly is a rising player. But also, if I have a chance to add a dominant right tackle, then I would do it. And then somebody who you can envision maybe moving over to left tackle at some point. And I'm not discounting Dennis Kelly. I thought he showed well last year. But I know that this draft is supposed to be just chock full of outstanding offensive linemen.
High expectations, Dave. High expectations.
Always.
I'm getting ready for this. I'm looking forward to the press conference, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for taking my call, like always.
Thank you, brother. All right, thanks for calling in, Zompie. 215-339-6709. We take a peek into the auditorium and show you an expectant media crowd waiting breathlessly, or not so breathlessly, for Chip Kelly to address the media. He will do so any minute now. Chip Kelly today holding an early, this is roughly what the Eagles did today, a walkthrough early, like 7:30, then classroom work, training, a practice that I think began roughly around 12:30 or something, and then here we go. We're going to hear from Chip in just a few moments. No pads. They wore helmets. No contact. So there's only so much you can draw from this practice. But, hey, guys, it's a practice in April. And it's the benefit of having a very tough season last year. Nobody wants to have this practice. We want to draft 32nd next year. But we have what we have, and we enjoy what we have right now. All right, Nick in New York joins us. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, not much.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, I've been a longtime Eagles fan up here in New York, and let me tell you, it is tough living here.
Yeah.
Being an Eagles fan, living in New York is one of the hardest things, but hey, I bleed green, and
I'm
looking forward to this draft.
Well, let me tell you something. We appreciate you representing the Eagles up in New York, all right?
Yeah, thanks. No, it's no problem. My pleasure.
We got your love here, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so for the draft, I'm really hoping that Chip Kelly actually snatches Deion Jordan.
You want the pass rusher. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not discounting. Nick, I'm telling you, I don't know. I told Sal, I don't have a feel. It could be Deion Jordan. It could be Geno Smith. It could be one of these linemen, offensive linemen. Could be a defensive lineman. As long as the player, as Howie Roseman said, you know, is an impact player in 3 years. Now, obviously, you want somebody who's going to get on the field and contribute in year one. Agreed. But I want to. I want a long-term. I mean, this is where you. This should be a honestly. A Pro Bowl talent. You're drafting a Pro Bowl talent at number four for many years to come.
Agreed. And you know, after watching the draft and Deion Jordan coming out and sort of exploding and you know showing these numbers, you know, the speed, his agility, you know, in my opinion, he really seems like a Pro Bowl player and a long time, you know, team member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's what excites me, you know, not only with, you know, just Luke Jokel possible offensive tackle that, you know, could be coming into Philly. But, you know, then you've got other people saying things like Geno Smith and whatnot. But, you know, our quarterbacks, we just let go of Trent Edwards, and, you know, we're just stacked. And, you know, I really think, you know, like going back on what you said, we need long-time, you know, commitment. I really think that, you know, a quarterback like Mike Vick will actually come out, explode. He'll have his, you know, second resurgence, and, you know, he'll prove to the team, not only the team, to Chip Kelly as well, that he can actually, you know, be our quarterback, take us to, you know, championship games and win them for us.
Well, hey, Nick, thanks for the call. I think Michael's going to have every chance to win the job. I think it's a very open competition. I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite at the moment. I would guess that Michael would be maybe the leader in the clubhouse at the moment, if that's worth anything right now. But both Nick and Michael will get a ton of reps in this camp. I mean, my vision of what's happening out on the practice field is that it's just hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get to the line of scrimmage, call the play, boom, 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 boom. So it's going to be a great mental test for both players, for Dennis Dixon as well, although he's got some experience in this offense. And for G.J. Kinney, I mean, you know, let's see what the kid can do. But for Foles and for Vic, wide open competition. Tyrell from Delaware joins us. Hi, Tyrell.
What's going on, Dave? How are you?
How are you today?
Oh, doing pretty good on this Eagles day.
Yes, sir.
Just called in to, you know, express my thoughts. I'm excited about the draft here, the upcoming draft here coming up. I just always say go with the best player available with the number 4 spot.
Okay, and who's in your heart, Tyrell? Who do you want?
In my heart, I would like Star Lutulele.
Okay.
I think he's a pretty good player. But, I mean, even if he goes earlier, I would take Deion Jordan because you can always line D.F. Jordan over the tight end, and I think that'll be a perfect match for him because he has the speed and agility to cover that tight end. And I think that would be good because Connor Barwin is lining up on the opposite side, right?
I don't know. I mean, my guess would be that Connor would be on the strong side and, you know, 4-3, 3-4. I mean, everything I keep hearing, it's a hybrid. They're going to give a lot of different looks. It's going to be partially 4-3, partially 3-4, move players around. I'm not opposed to any of the suggestions I've heard so far. Deion Jordan, Star Lotulelei, Luke Jokel, Eric Fisher, Geno Smith. If you love him, get him, and let's hope that he makes an impact because that's what you need here. The Eagles need some impact players.
All right. Dave, who would you like to get?
I don't, and this is a cop-out, so I apologize, but I'm not a draft expert. I can't sit here and tell you that this is what Star Lotulelei does well based on my, you know, 48 hours of film that I viewed on him. I can't sit here and say that and then walk upstairs and look, you know, a scout in the eye and say, well, hey, Dave, I just heard you say this player is a good player. Well, have you watched him? No. Well, that's what the media thrives on, just throwing out information that's kind of BS, and I'm just not going to do that. So I will ask the experts when the picks are made, why they made the picks, what they saw on the players, and their opinions will mean a whole lot more than mine. I want great players in rounds 1 through 7. There's 9 picks here. It's not just a one-player draft for me. Eagles need multiple good football players to help a roster that I think is better than 4-12, certainly. But let's challenge everywhere on the roster.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you for the call. Let's take a quick break. We will not miss 1 second of Chip Kelly, who's coming off the practice field. He's going to address the media. Open questions. Open forum. Who's the starter on day one on April 16th? April 16th! We're talking about a depth chart. I love it. I love the fact that everyone's looking ahead with so much energy in this Philadelphia Eagles organization. Dave Spadaro with you. Coming right back. Oh, no, we're going to Chip Kelly now. Ooh, here he goes. Let's throw it into the auditorium right now.
Good afternoon. Just got off of our first day of voluntary minicamp. A lot of positive things. First off, everybody was here. I think we had 74 total guys participate today. Three guys not fully participated, Jason Kelce, Chris McCoy, and Evan Moore, but everybody else was full go, so it was good to get them back out in the field. Guys running around, good tempo, good pace, good energy. I think the 2 weeks we had of off-season program with our strength coaches kind of prepared those guys a little bit, you know, so that they could get in and get an understanding of what we wanted to get accomplished. So what we really want to do is get a lot of reps on film and then get a chance to go break the tape down as coaching staff and start teaching these guys and have them understand. But what they've done so far in the first day was, impressive to us as a coaching staff. And it's just exciting. There's an energy around here. I think our players are excited. The coaching staff's excited. So it was fun for all of us just to get back out in the field and do some football again. You know, we're not preparing for a game. We're just trying to see if we can, you know, implement our offensive schemes, defensive schemes, and special teams. And, you know, after day one, it was we felt like so far so good. You know, long way to go, but we're I think after day one, you're just excited about our attitudes more than anything. So with that, I'll open up some questions.
When the first team offense was out there,
Nick was, Mike was. And I think Dennis actually got reps with them. So, you know, we're just rolling. So Billy's got those guys. I think the first snap of 7-on, I think Mike took. I think the first snap a team Nick may have took. And I don't know if it was weed. You had 3 team periods, 2 7-on periods. So it rotated. So through 5 different periods, I think that rotated. So there wasn't one set guy that just went with the ones the entire day. You know, all those guys got an opportunity to roll through. So,
Chip, in an early mini camp, what do you look for from the players?
First and foremost, we just, you know, can we get lined up? You know, what have they graphed so far? We've had the ability to meet with them, I think, 7 times here and just kind of have what we call installation meetings. But now, how do they take it from the classroom to the field? So, more than anything, we know guys are going to make mistakes, early in this process. But, are we making things full speed? What kind of energy are they playing with? Are they coachable? You know, and then we're also, at the same time, you know, we know that there's 74 guys here, but, you know, next year in September, we're going to have 53 guys here. So, you know, we're making, really for the first time for our coaching staff, some athletic evaluations of guys. You know, when it's not a day one, we've made our evaluation, let's move on, but it's a constant ongoing process of where they are. So, you know, there's a lot of things we're looking for on the first day. So,
how does the pace of these practices compare to the pace of what you did in Oregon?
Yeah, I think obviously it's a little bit slower. You know, we don't have the numbers that we had. And it's also day one. You know, it's... If I go back to day one at Oregon, it was probably kind of similar, to be honest with you. Certainly won't be the pace that we play at during the season, because during the season our numbers are drastically down. You know, at the college level, you get 105 players for practice. And then after the first game, that actually goes up. You know, in the National Football League, you have 53 on your roster, and then you got 8 other practice guys, so you only got 61 guys available to practice. So, you know, at this point in time, it's offense is going against the defense. We're not preparing to play against an opponent. You know, so we're not breaking things down from a real schematic standpoint and who your scout players are and that. We're just, you know, trying to implement our offense and our defense. So I thought for an off-season pace, it was pretty good.
We've heard a lot about your practices at UG. You mentioned the tempo and the pace. If people are watching, what are they seeing as far as, like, how is that manifested? Is it between the drills? Are guys sprint from one session to another? Minimal time between snaps, how does that all break down?
I think it's a combination of all of that. You know, what we want to do is we want to get our work done. We're not going to be out there for a long time, so I would argue that we don't practice as long as other teams. It's just we try to eliminate and be as efficient as possible. But we also go from, you know, really basically in football, it's a real common concept, is there's 2 speeds in football. There's game speed and teach speed. You know, and if you're going to do something else at any other speed, then why do it? You know, so, you know, we segment our practices in a certain manner where if we're going to have a full speed team period, then the next period after that is a teach period, because we know we just can't continue to go, you know, for 35 minutes straight of all team. Even though you change what the situation is, it's still, there needs to be a break in there. So if we want our guys to understand how to play at game tempo, we have to kind of gear it like game tempo. So, you know, really it's short bursts, you know, get in and get out, get your work done, and then let's go back to teach mode. Then get in and get out and work done, and then get back to teach mode. So,
you talked about the quarterback splitting reps today. Those 3 guys taking number ones. What's the plan going forward then in regards to reps, and how do you plan to divvy that up?
Same thing. You know, It's April 16th, so we're not playing until next September. So, we're going to use the full available time for us to make a full evaluation of who it is. And I think it fosters competition. I think those guys love competition. That's why they're in that position. And they know it. I think our guys really understand. I think everybody right now knows where they stand. And that's a big thing for us is everybody, there's not a lot of gray area. It's everybody knows we're all going to get a lot of reps and we want to get film on tape so we can teach, and really sometimes the only way you can teach somebody is they got to make a mistake. And then you can coach off of it. All right, what'd you see here? What was going on in your mind when you made this decision? Do you understand why we got to start it out here in our progression and understanding the coverage dictates us going one way as opposed to going another way? But you can talk about that all you want, but until they do it, I think that's the biggest thing for us. Our whole philosophical educational deal with the things is I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, and then I do and I understand. So really it's us telling them what the concept is, then showing them it on film what the concept is, then actually going on the field and implementing it. But if you never get to the point of I do and you can't get them in and get reps, then they're not going to get any better. So it's our job to make sure that we put those guys in that situation so that when something manifests itself in a game, it's we've gone over this, we've practiced this, you've actually taken reps doing that in a game. So
when you say the players know where they stand, everybody knows where they stand, do you mean that in terms of the depth chart?
Yeah.
At this point, how much of the offense is in place?
Oh, day one. So.
I mean, playbook.
Day one install, so very, very limited. I don't have from a percentage standpoint, probably 15%.
How much of the players have been told film room wise, and how much have you shown? How have you been able to show them?
Good question. I think we did 3 days of installs, so we doubled them. So we took 2 days to do one day in the last couple of weeks, and then we started back on day one again today. So again, the going philosophically is that we've talked about it and we've shown them it on film, but instead of moving so fast, without having them do that on the field, we can put in 25 plays in a classroom type setting, but are we going to get 25 plays run in practice? 25 different plays run in practice. So, it's a matter of now getting reps and now going back and teaching off those reps. Now that they've had a chance to do them, and we've got Nick Foles taking reps doing that, Mike Vick taking reps doing that, LeSean McCoy taking reps doing that. Now we can kind of coach off of that. So, we're real conscious, especially in this first time out there. We got 3 days to really. It's not how much offense we get in at this point in time, because again, we're not playing a game. But it's can we get them out there so that they can execute? We're not going to overload them so that, we're not getting any plays run, both offensively and defensively. We're giving them enough where they can execute, enough where we can vary and handle the situations that we're in, but not so much that we've just overloaded ourselves. So,
it's so early, obviously, but athletically, how did Jason Peters look? He was a full participant.
Yeah, Jason looked, kind of what I had hoped that he was going to look like. First off, he's a very big human being that moves extremely well. But he participated through the full practice, so. I think one of those deals when it's probably a good sign when you never looked over and said, geez, he doesn't look like he's himself right now. He was moving around and looked really at home at left tackle. So, when you have someone that's got that type of talent at that type of size, it's encouraging to see him get through that practice. So.
Go ahead. Sure, with your offensive line staying on that, Danny Watkins, how does he look? Where do you right now, day one, where is he fitting in? And
Danny was at right guard today. Todd, I think, was at right tackle. So, I know.
First team.
Yeah, I don't mean to say first team means nothing to us. It's how many reps can we get. So I don't care if you were in the first team reps, second team reps, third team reps. We don't grade Danny differently. So they got. I think Danny got first reps, second reps. Stout's just rolling them. We don't have 15 exactly, so when we put a third group in there, someone's got to double up. If that person doubles up, he's not going back with the ones. So our whole mantra right now is I don't care who's in with the ones, who's in with the twos, we just got to make sure we got 11. So, and let's roll and let's get reps and let's get some film that we can teach off of. So that whole concept of who ran with the ones or who didn't run with the ones, I don't think that's, they put a little thing over their bed and say, hey, I ran with the ones today. That really doesn't matter. It's when I was in there, did I know what I was doing? Did I understand my assignment? Did I use the proper technique and did I execute? So they all rolled, but position-wise, Danny was on the right side of guard and Todd was at tackle.
Okay, and they were coming off injury, so I just wonder if they were the health, were they able to do
Yeah, everybody that practiced looked good to me. So, and all those guys, the only three guys who didn't practice were full practice. Kelsey participated in a couple things, Evan Moore and Chris McCoy. Everybody else, the other 71 guys, were full go, and they weren't in and out. They were all go in practice. So,
Next week is your first draft here. Do you see that as a sort of signature moment? Do you feel like you have to come out of that with something that defines, you know, your era starting forward here?
Honestly, I'm not that philosophical. I want to come out of it with the best players, you know, and you know, hopefully my goal is that we have a lot more drafts, you know, so you could say it's your signature draft if it's your only draft. So I plan on being here more than 1 year. So our whole goal is can we improve this football team? And that's it. But I don't look at it as this is a defining moment of what we're doing. And when people look back 10 years, 20 years, you know, who was the pick and all those other things, that I'm not that deep, I can tell you that. So we're just trying to get the best player we can.
So, Chip, who starts off atop the depth chart at quarterback?
It's even. They both took reps with the one. So the depth chart for us, it's not a big deal. So, you know, I think in the first 7-on reps, I think Mike took it. I think in the first team rep, Nick took it. So, you know, Billy's just rolling them. And I don't look over there and say, you know, the ones are in. How come he's in? We talked about it as a staff. We just want guys to get reps. So the depth charts, it's more of like a seating chart than it is a depth chart.
Edwards was released yesterday, and so the moves at quarterback so far have been to, you know, decide to keep Michael Vick, and then with Kenny and with Dixon, because all of them have some level of mobility, whereas, you know, Nick, I guess, is kind of the lone quarterback who does not have that.
You're reading way too much into that, if I can jump ahead of you on your question. So the best quarterbacks are the best quarterbacks, so, you know, I think we'll find a way, no matter who our quarterbacks are, to put a game plan in where they can be successful. So.
It's just coincidence.
What's coincidence? Trent actually asked us if he could get an opportunity. I think that he, you know, could he fit in somewhere else? So we helped him out with that more than anything. So.
No, I was just saying the players that you acquired and the fact that you retained Michael Vick, he's ought to be.
No, I think they're good quarterbacks. You know, I think people are putting too much into, does this guy run, does this guy not run? You know, we've had guys at Oregon that ran a lot. We have other guys at Oregon. Darren Thomas took us to a national championship in a Rose Bowl and rushed for 200 yards during a 14-game season. So I think sometimes there's a misconception of what I'm looking for in a quarterback. I'm looking for a quarterback that can help us score points and win games. So if we got to throw it 50 times, we'll throw it 50 times. So.
Jim, you were talking about earlier about the pace of practice and everything. What's been the feedback from the players on this, and how much do you, plan to take that into account when you start scaling that back when the numbers start falling down?
Yeah, obviously you got to take into account the numbers that are available to you. But I think, you know, I can't speak for those guys, but I think they understand it. You know, the opportunity for us is to get more snaps in practice. So if you get more snaps in practice, you feel a lot more confident in what you're doing and how you're executing it. You know, sometimes there's a volume of offense that you have in, but we ran that play once on a Tuesday, you know, in a walkthrough. And then you got to call it at a critical point in game, at a critical point in time during a game. You know, I'm just not that confident calling a play that we practiced 7 days ago in a walkthrough in a critical point in time on 3rd and 7. We called it and then turn around and go, I can't believe we didn't execute it. Well, that's probably on us as a coaching staff because we didn't get it in. But if you want to have X amount of offense in a game plan, you have to practice in a certain style to get X amount of plays in practice during the week. So, you know, there's a fine balance in that of how much is in your offense, how many plays do you run, but do you get a chance to actually execute them in practice? You know, I think shame on us if we said, hey, we covered that in a meeting, and I talked about that route once, but we never actually had an opportunity to run that in practice because you only have X amount of reps. So I think our players have bought in. Just the attitude that since I've been here is they've been outstanding. You know, they want to win. You know, there's an energy about them, and if they feel like if this philosophy and culture that we brought here is going to help them win, then they'll do anything we ask them to do. But they also know we wouldn't ask them to do anything if we didn't think it was going to help them win. You know, we're not doing it just for the sake of doing it. We're doing it because, you know, to me and philosophically, it's been proven that it helps you win. You know, I think it's a real efficient way to practice. You know, we practice a lot shorter than other people. We get our work done in a quicker amount of time, you know, and that's part of the whole process that we're doing. Does that mean we're going to play the games like that? No. I mean, we certainly understand it. But it's a tool in our toolbox that if we have to dial it up, we feel pretty comfortable in doing it. So.
Coach, how did your quarterbacks look so far? Just on this first day, I know it's first day, but how did they look? You got to
go in and watch a film and kind of nitpick and all those other things. But you know, their command and their presence out there, you know, was certainly evident to me. You know, all of them, the ball can kind of come off their hand. You know, there's not a guy when you're like, wow, he's a little bit behind. So, you know, for day one, you know, I was real happy with that position. But you know, I'm obviously going to go back and turn on the film and say, hey, you know, could have done this better, could have done that better. So.
Chip, as far as the defense goes, a lot has been made of Brandon Graham and D'Amico Ryans. So
specifically where they're going to line up, whether D'Amico's really a fit in the 3-4. What did you see out of those guys?
I think D'Amico's just a natural linebacker. You know, it doesn't matter if you got 3-down spacing or 4-down spacing. I think he's, you know, and he's played in both concepts, you know, when he was with the Texans and he played here. So I think he can adapt. You know, trying to see if Brandon is a guy that could drop and be playing coverage, or is he more of a natural defensive end? That's more of what this process for us is about, is finally getting a chance to identify our talent on the defensive side of the ball and then put them in positions to make plays. So, you know, if we really feel that Brandon can, then that's another weapon Billy has to use in terms of what he can use defensively. But if we don't think Brandon's a great drop guy, then you know, shame on us if we're making him do that. So, you know, that's what this process for us in terms of evaluating those guys from an athletic standpoint and knowledge standpoint is part of that, you know. And we did some three down spacing today, we did some 4-down spacing today, but you know, we're by no means dialed in of this is what we're going to do, you know. It's because, again, it's day one. So
I was just going to actually follow up on that. I mean, do you, we're all kind of assuming your base is going to be some form of a non-front. Billy's coached both at some point. In your mind, what are the pluses and if any negatives of using a non-front? And do you anticipate that that'll be your primary base defense?
Number one, it hinges on the players we have. And then number two, it hinges on the situation of the game. So there are no purists anymore. No one runs a 3-4 defense every single down. No one runs a 4-down defense every single down. You know, people have elements of both in there. It's the same thing offensively. So, you know, really our job is to identify what are the strengths of the players that are on our roster and then kind of play to those strengths. And it's still way too early to tell. But I think, you know, there's obviously advantages to both of those, you know. But, you know, in nickel, you may be in a 4-down operation, but, you know, who are you playing? A team that throws the ball a lot. So we're going to be in more 4-down this week. So, you know, 65% of our snaps against X team is going to be 4-down defense. Other teams, we're going to be more a little bit more 3-down. But, again, if you're going to play 3-down, you better make sure that you got a nose who can 2-gap and some defensive ends who can 2-gap and some of those things. Because if you don't have them, it doesn't matter how you deploy yourself defensively. You're not going to be able to hold up. So that's what this evaluation process for us and this mini camp, our OTAs, and then, you know, the mini camp we have in June in terms of before we get to preseason camp, kind of figuring out what's the best situation to put those guys in. So
with the adaptability theme and the situational defensive theme, what is your overall assessment of this draft? We talked to Howie Roseman yesterday. What is your view?
I think that the draft has depth. You know, I don't think, you know, there's not an Andrew Luck or an RG3 or someone that you just say, hey, that guy's going to be a 10-year all-pro, one of the best. You know, I had the opportunity to, fortunately or unfortunately, to coach against Andrew Luck in our league. So, you know, he was as close as there was to a can't-miss guy. I don't see that type of guy in this draft at any position, to be honest with you. So, but I think depth-wise, there's a lot of really quality players there. And it's the same thing. It's funny. You try to analyze the draft from this end, and you look at it, you know, and everybody has in hindsight, you know, you ask anybody out there, and I knew Russell Wilson was going to be a player. Well, you all drafted him in the third round. You know, so everybody had a shot at him, and they all passed on him. You know, people missed on that Tom Brady. Well, everybody had 6 shots at Tom Brady. You know, they didn't take him at the right point in time. So it's easy to go hindsight and say that we knew this draft was this, but, you know, you really don't know. You know, you look at, and it's the same process that we went through in college. You know, if you look at what are the top 5 or 6 players in the draft, they weren't the top 5 or 6 high school players 5 years ago. You know, Deion Jordan's one of the top players out there, and we were smart enough at Oregon to recruit him as a wide receiver. You know, he's going to play outside linebacker, defensive end in the NFL. You know what I mean? You know, you look at Lane Johnson was a high school quarterback. You know, now he's an offensive tackle that's a top pick, and the list goes on and on. Ziggy Ansah was playing basketball and went to BYU to be a basketball player, and now he may be a top 10 pick. So it varies. So I don't know. I think there's some quality players in this draft, you know, that's our job to kind of figure that out. But I don't think there's, by any stretch of the imagination, slam dunks anymore.
Just get a thumbnail sketch of 3 players: Geno Smith, EJ Manuel, and Ryan Nassib.
Thumbnail?
Yeah.
All really good quarterbacks.
So you're saying there's not going to be a can't-miss prospect in this year's draft?
Let me ask you: I'm going to put you on the spot. Is there a can't-miss prospect? You tell me today, April 16th. Because I'm 5 years from now, I'm going to say on April 16th you said. Who do you got, Jeff?
Eric Fisher.
I don't know either.
But you said did you know that going in last year, that Luck or
I knew Luck was.
Yeah.
Because okay. I coached against him. I wasn't analyzing the draft, but
you guys had 4th pick.
So if there's not a can't-miss quarterback, you probably wouldn't draft a quarterback.
There's not a can't-miss player, is what I'm saying. You know, so no matter who you take.
You'd rather take a risk on a tackle at the fourth spot than you would a quarterback, right?
I would like to take a risk on a place kicker at the fourth pick, so. You can pin me down, but it's not going to happen right now. I'm trying to pin you down. Who would you take? Who would
you take? Eric Fisher.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
5 years from now.
I've been picking for you guys on
okay.
the Monster Ass.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark it down.
As a new coach and everything, how valuable is it to be able to have this mini camp, especially like leading into the draft? And can what happens this week affect what you guys do in the draft?
Yeah, really good question. I think it's invaluable. You know, it's difficult at times to make an evaluation on some guys just watching film because you don't know what the play call was or you don't know how they were instructed on what they were supposed to do on that play. You know, you're just kind of watching athletic ability and kind of going through it. But then when you actually get to see them on the field for three straight days running around doing different things, it gives you a better understanding of what your team is, you know, and kind of where they are. And you know, there's going to be some guys that, you know, maybe they were looked at as a guy that wasn't as highly touted, but we, you know, really fits into what we do, and then maybe some other guys that are highly touted that aren't exactly the right fits. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case, but I think this whole operation, you know, these 3 days that we get an opportunity, especially with it falling before the draft, there's a reason for that. That all first year staffs get a chance to kind of practice with their guys a little bit before they get in the draft, just to give us a better understanding of our team. So,
Chip, earlier today you released a statement. Did Oregon ask you not to say anything about that investigation?
No, the NCAA has asked us about that since day one. They've just asked us to, you know, I respect the process, and we fully have cooperated with them, and we'll continue if they need us to. So, you know, they were the ones who asked us to do that, so I respect them, and we'll continue to do that until they have a final resolution. So,
Chip, so with your evaluation of the players this week, how much in these 3 days will that lead to decisions on what you're going to do in the draft? How much do you think it could lead to making some decisions on positions?
Yeah, good question. It has to, because we can't ask if we can get some more practices. So I can't go back on Friday and ask Commissioner Goodell, if you give us 2 more days, this would really help us next week. You know, it's all part of the process. We knew it going in that we're going to get 3 days to evaluate the players and that we have on the current roster. And then, we'll sit down again. You know, our scouts are out of practice too. You know, they're watching practice. So we're all getting feedback. And as we said since day one, it's a real collaborative effort. But, you know, they're understanding what we want and what we've – you know, kind of what the ideal player is at each position in terms of what we're looking for. They're seeing that. Now we can see on film and say, hey, you know, did you see such and such do this in practice? This is kind of what we're looking for. So,
you could ask Roger Goodell. I don't think he'd give you the answer you wanted.
Yeah, I don't think we'd get a couple extra days.
Is that why we can't watch?
What's that?
Is that why we can't watch?
No, they told me you couldn't watch. So I just follow the rules. Talk to them.
I thought we could watch.
No. Right? It's closed?
I just thought you wouldn't let us. You know,
closed.
Didn't want to give us to give anything away.
They told us which ones had to be open, so we keep them open.
But you can open them up if you want. All
what's
them.
That?
You're allowed to open all of them.
Yeah, and then I got to answer more questions. I got to get to film.
A lot of these guys drop weight, and they have never practiced at the tempo that you practice at. So yeah, after this,
not all of them have dropped weight. Let me tell you that.
No, I don't at all. But that's what I was going to ask you. After the first practice,
we'll see.
What were the guys looking like? How were they responding to what they had just gone through?
You know, it's not a. There were some guys when you're like, wow, what a, you know, an outstanding job. Then some other guys, you're like, hey, he's going to need some work. But it's also, they've been off. I think we understand that. You know, through the CBA, they weren't allowed to be in this building till April 1st. So, you know, it wasn't in our minds that January, February, March, you know, they were out running hills everywhere. You know, but there are some guys that are in really, really good shape right now. There are some guys that have to work. Overall, I would say I'm pleased. But, you know, there's a couple guys that need a – need to get a little bit better. But again, it's the middle of April. It's not September. So we'll have a better understanding of where they are. When they leave here in June after the mandatory mini camp, then we'll, you know, this is the prescribed weight you got to get back at when we get to camp, because now there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency. So
was that tricky for you, because you just said that you really kind of need to use this draft a little bit to impact maybe some, I mean, this camp impact decisions in the draft. And now, you know, some guys may just not be ready yet. And
yeah, but I mean, you can tell if a guy's just not ready. It's not like in the beginning of practice, he looked really good. As practice wore on, you know, he started to slow down. There's no one that after stretch was just gassed so that we couldn't make an evaluation. But there are some guys, when we've got to the third team period, weren't as fresh as they were in the first team period. But we expected that going in, so.
In terms of setting the board, what specifically is your role in setting the board and in making the pick? And in making all the picks, I guess.
we're all in there together. So, you know, I've met extensively with Howie and his group, and our coaches collaborated with the scouting department in terms of their opinions, and I think it's, you know, kind of a collaborative effort. So it's not, you know, one side or another side. It's all of us kind of sitting down, putting our heads together, and making the right decisions.
So if you like player X and Howie or someone else likes player Y, how's that determined?
I don't answer hypotheticals for the reason you asked that question, so.
Just follow up.
Because we get into a million different things, because player Z from Mars I love better. I mean, you could just take the hypothetical in the next way, you know. We look at...
All scenarios essentially are hypotheticals, aren't they? You
know, that's why I don't answer scenarios.
But you work on scenarios up there.
Yeah, and I get bored. Because some of them, to be honest with you, when they give you a million different scenarios, I kind of think the same thing in the back of my mind. You know what I mean? Well, what team will trade 17 picks for us? And you say that never happened, but the New Orleans Saints did it for Ricky Williams. So you got to talk about it, right?
Exactly.
So we talk about it.
So this is a scenario that can come up. Is that
player X or player Y?
Yeah.
I'll take player Y.
Bob Gross.
Chip, Michael Vick, he's not your traditional. You're used to coaching younger guys, quarterbacks and that.
Well, everybody I coach is younger. I've never been in the NFL, so I haven't coached anybody over 21. Well, except for Kyle Long, but I've never coached. And we had a couple kids that were on missions, but besides that, everybody's been 22 or 23 or younger. So
can you kind of talk about, you know, the challenge of, he's one of the veterans. He's been here for a while. He's used to doing it a certain way. What's the challenge of teaching him your system?
I think that's a misconception. You know, the first time I met Michael and just got a chance to visit with him, and then watching him on the field and what he's been like in the classroom, is Michael just wants to win and Michael just wants to get better. So, you know, I think sometimes the age thing is overblown, and I know in his situation it's overblown. You know, he's thirsty for knowledge. He's here early every day. He's been great in the classroom. He wants to learn. He's always asking questions. So, you know, I think sometimes people just want to stereotype and say, well, as they get older, they're not as receptive. You know, I think that's just a personal decision in terms of where you are. You know, I know I'm older than Michael, but I'm always trying to learn, and I can learn from him, and he can learn from me, but he's been fantastic. He's been great. Todd Herman's been great. All the older players here have been outstanding. Trent Cole, you know, there's a lot of guys that have played some years in this league, but every single one of them to a guy has been fantastic. John Dorenbos, all those guys have been, you know, they're just thirsty for knowledge, and that's the great part about being here, is they've kind of set the tones for the younger guys. You know, if you see Mike leading and running around and excited about going out to practice and going to meetings, you know, if you're a young guy and it's the first time you're here, you're like, hey, that's the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, for the 2 weeks and 2 days that we've been here with these guys, since the off-season program started, they've all been like that, whether it's been the new guys jumping into the mix like Chung and Fletcher and Soap and some of those guys. I think everybody's the same exact mindset. Jason Kelsey is a real student of the game. So when the older guys are that type, it makes it real easy for us as a staff. And again, after 2 weeks and 2 days, it's been a great situation for us from a learning standpoint. So,
yeah, we have two more, Ruben and John.
Getting back to the 3-4-4-3 question, when you're going back and forth, does that really put a premium on versatility and guys who can do a couple different things in different fronts? And how hard is it to find that kind of player who can function both?
It does. You know, in decisions, if you're going a nickel, if you're a 3-4 team, who are you taking off the field? You know, if you're bringing in that extra defensive back. So, but someone that has that versatility that can play in a 3-down front and a 4-down front, you know, that really helps. Can you be an outside linebacker and drop into coverage on first and second down, but also be a defensive end that rushes the quarterback on third down? So versatility is the kind of the key to that. And we think we got some guys like that, but we're not going to make that determination today. You know, we'll continue to put them in situations and see how they operate. So,
Chip, the NCAA investigation that is out there, did what happened in Oregon or what's happening there weigh in on your decision to leave Oregon in college for the Eagles?
No, it had absolutely no impact on my decision to leave.
Okay. Thanks,
guys.
All right, that is Chip Kelly, a very, very entertaining Chip Kelly, who I don't know the reputation, being somewhat reluctant to meet the media for more. He's been fantastic. More than 25 minutes of good answers, and we'll recap for you here briefly. Three players not taking part in the drills. Jason Kelsey, although he did take part in some individual drills coming off that knee injury last year, making good progress, just not cleared for full workouts today. Evan Moore, tight end. Chris McCoy, defensive end, linebacker. They did not practice. Asked several times about the depth chart, Chip Kelly said, it's even Steven, At the quarterback position, Nick Cole took some reps with the ones. Michael Vick took some reps with the ones. They both took a lot of work. I'm sure a lot of reps out there at practice. And the defense, as we've been told kind of all along, the Eagles running some sets with some four-down linemen, some sets with some three-down linemen. So the buzzword for the defense is hybrid. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live marches on. We'll take a break now, and we'll hear from the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, some reaction after the Chip Kelly press conference as this pre-draft minicamp begins on a beautiful Tuesday here in South Philadelphia. It's PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles Live. We're coming right back.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a fourth-round pick, a sixth-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, on the heels of that very entertaining Chip Kelly press conference, we bring in the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, into the studio. No more times yours press conferences, Merrill, huh?
You know what? You know how highly I think of Andy Reid. But Chip said more in that press conference than Andy said in 14 years.
And he didn't really say that much. He's just got a great gift of gab.
Well, he said a lot of things, and he really went into a lot
really
of detail.
Well. Yeah.
He did. He really did. He seemed loose.
Yeah.
There was no time that he got edgy, even when asked about the NCAA stuff. He didn't seem annoyed. He just answered it very, very gracefully and moved on. But he seemed to enjoy his banter with the media while Andy seemed to suffer through it. And that, again, I'm not talking anything
sure.
about Andy the coach, but I'm talking about we're evaluating press conferences, and I give Chip an A+.
We're not done evaluating. The Bills to continue this evaluation because
okay.
that's really all we've got at the moment. We can't watch practice. We'll get into that shortly. But, Merrill, how long does good press conference etiquette for a head coach buy time with a fan base?
At least for two games. you get off to an 0-2 start and it's curtains. No, I think that's good. I mean, I think that if the fans feel that the coach is communicating with them, if he respects them, because that's what these press conferences are. I think an athlete, I think a coach who thinks that he's talking to this writer or that writer is making a mistake. What he is doing is communicating to the public, to the people who buy tickets to watch these games. And that's what Chip did, and he was a lot of fun. And he actually seemed to enjoy it.
And he seems very confident in himself, in his team, in his play. And I think that's something that fans absolutely pick up on.
I mean, you've heard the expression quick twitch. He is a quick twitch thinker. I mean, he anticipates the question, and he reacts to it, and has a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk about some of the particulars here of this press conference, of this first day of the Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles pre-draft minicamp. Depth chart even at the quarterback position. No surprise there.
No. And the other thing that's interesting is that the whole world in Philadelphia, as part of the world, thinks that the Eagles are going to play a 30 defense. And everybody says it. They've got to get this guy to play the 30 defense. And Chip continues to say that's not true, that they will do some three-man fronts, they will do some four-man fronts. It's going to be a mixture. That anybody who says, oh, the Eagles are switching to a 30 is off base right now.
Merrill, how will he determine the starter at the quarterback position? And when will that potentially be decided? Are we talking find out, you know, this competition open in preseason games?
Assuming that Geno Smith is not his first pick in the draft.
I don't think anybody can assume. Nobody knows.
Nobody can assume, but if I were to glean anything from this press conference, he said there is no can't-miss quarterback out there. Then he quickly said there's no can't-miss player out there. But if you're going to go for a quarterback, you at the fourth spot in the draft, you want that quarterback to be RG3. You want that quarterback to be Andrew Luck. You want that quarterback to be Donovan McNabb, who carried this franchise for a lot of years. That's what you want to feel about that player. If not, I think it's a lot safer to draft an offensive tackle or a defensive tackle.
I didn't get any sense of him, his feeling on Geno Smith.
No, I know you didn't. Yeah. I know you didn't, but he did say there are no can't-miss quarterbacks out there. There's nobody
player out there.
I know, but I think the risk...
Andrew Luck, he said, was the only can't-miss player.
Yeah, and that's what he said from last year. Although I might throw RG3 into that too, from what I had seen going into the draft. However, that being said, I may be off base, and I may sit here with you a week from Thursday night and say, wow, they took Geno Smith, and it could have been misleading. But just if I am to be intuitive right now, I'd say that you can pretty much think that they're going to go in another direction. It'll be interesting to see.
I don't know. I don't have. I really, honestly, truly do not have a sense.
But you asked me another question.
Yes.
You asked me a question. When will the starting quarterback be determined?
Thank you.
I honestly believe that you will go into the summer, into the training camp, and into the preseason games with both Michael Vick and Nick Foles getting equal opportunities to run the first unit. And he will make his decision based on performance. I think he likes both quarterbacks. I think he respects both skill sets, which are quite different, and I think that he will have a feel for which quarterback will best suit the Philadelphia Eagles and his offense somewhere this summer. I would say at least going into the third preseason game.
And he also reiterated that the offensive scheme is not to be put in a box, that whatever the team does best, whatever they learn from these practices is what they will run. And if that means that Nick Foles is your drop-back quarterback and it's a very up-tempo, well, whoever the quarterback is going to be, we expect up-tempo, get to the line of scrimmage, get a lot of plays off. But whether they run the spread, the read option, or spread formation, read option style of offense seems very much up in the air.
Absolutely. And to say that Nick Foles is not the fastest quarterback in the world, he's one without quarterbacks without foot speed. When he's talking about speed, he's talking about reaction speed, play recognition, the ability to move in the pocket. And Nick Foles is fine in all of those categories. And at the same time, Michael Vick is capable of dropping back and throwing the ball 65 yards down.
Fascinating. I think it's just a fascinating day one, Merle.
I think this is as much fun as I've had at a press conference in a long, long time.
Who knew that Chip Kelly would be regaling the Philadelphia media.
He was terrific.
Back and forth banter, joking with these curmudgeons.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. He was absolutely terrific.
Well, he's off to certainly a great start here in Philadelphia. We will have complete draft coverage for you beginning Monday, Eagles Draft Live, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday. Merrill joins in for the fun. It begins at 6 p.m. as the Eagles prepare for round one of this 2013.
Those are my favorite draft. 3 days, Dave. My favorite three off-the-field days are when we sit here and we go through the draft. I cannot wait until Thursday night.
And are you going to give me a name on this April 16th?
I am. Dave Spadaro. No. I name it. All right, I'm going to give you my pick right now.
Yeah, please do.
I'm going to name Deion Jordan.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Deion Jordan. That's
means
my,
a whole
that's
lot
my,
of nothing to me.
It means nothing to anybody. But if you ask me, now tomorrow I might give you Eric Fisher.
Sure.
Or Star Lotulelei.
Is it? Whoa.
Oh.
Let's get this right. Is it not Lotulelei?
Is it?
You better get this right, Mr. Play-by-Play.
Is it Lotulelei?
I don't. I'm just a lowly Eagles live host. You're the play-by-play voice of the Eagles.
I thought it was Lotulelei.
I think it's Lotulelei.
Rhyming with ukulele? I don't know.
You just better get it right if the Eagles make him the first round
pick. I'll tell you what.
Pick.
I'll have it. I'll have that pronunciation by Thursday.
Have you done a review, Merrill, of the toughest names to pronounce in this draft?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, maybe you should remember. Do you remember? I'm sure you remember.
I mean, we had Ziggy Ansah.
The year that the Eagles drafted Max Jean Gillis, and we were like Max Jean Gillet, Max Jean Gilly.
No, I can go back to Junior Tadalatasi.
Right. What did you call? What was your first?
I have
name?
No idea, but it wasn't Tadalatasi.
Junior Smith, like Buddy.
That's what Buddy called him.
All right, Merrill Reese, thank you so much once again for joining us in the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure you're with us. Draft live coverage. Merrill in studio for all 3 days beginning Thursday, 6 p.m. Eagles Draft Live on the 25th of April. Coming right back.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They gave up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinny Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on is all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a two-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Pork Paradise. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Bill Lazor, quarterback's coach. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
A great start today to this three-day voluntary Eagles pre-draft minicamp. We will have complete coverage for you tonight. We will have footage of the practice, as much as we can show you, in tonight's Eagles update. We're going to put that together right after the show here. So for the crew here, I want to thank you all for joining us. We will be back tomorrow at 2:30, day two of the Eagles pre-draft camp. We will have an opportunity to interview Michael Vick, Nick Foles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Get some player reaction to how things are going on the football field. We thank you so much for joining us here on Eagles Live. Everyone, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Hey, you're right. You're going to step it up. I'll fight for you.